bringing this motion to the PNB.
Okay, now, Dave or Lonnie, please give me a name or names.
So the framing of the question is flawed because it's a contract. It's coming to the PNB because there's a conflict of interest provision in it. The ED is going to notify or elect
Excuse me, Dave.
That's what's happening.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Brian, are you satisfied with the answer?
He ain't satisfied.
Brian, are you satisfied with the answer?
You gotta just answer the question, man. We can't be
right,
on y'all.
Right.
Don't be defensive. Just answer the question.
Right, exactly. That's we just want an answer. He wants an answer, so then we
He's
can move forward.
He's entitled to it too. Give him the answer, whatever it is. Who's presenting the proposal?
Who's putting it on your agenda?
The coordinating committee will probably do it. I put it on the PMB agenda, but the way it works is the ED gives it to the coordinating committee, and then the coordinating committee recommends review. But the bylaws trigger the fact that the PNB has to do it. So call it what you want. The coordinating committee is putting it on the agenda. I don't know. Greg is the one who's proposing entering into the contract. Lonnie worked up the financial impact statement. And in answer to Thomas's question, I can answer any question about the substance of it, or most questions at least. But Lonnie is the one who's dealt with all the financial impacts. And except for what I think about what we could raise, Lonnie's the one who is presenting the financial impact and to whom you'd have to ask any question about that. I have no role in that whatsoever.
Okay, this is LaVarne. Okay, so Dave says Lonnie did the finance. Greg brought it, the contract, to the coordinating committee. The coordinating committee is bringing it to the PNB. Dave can answer any background questions. Do you,
has,
I mean, is
the coordinating committee reviewed it yet?
No.
What
That's
I don't,
what I said,
what,
I'm going to have to wait.
What I don't want is someone to go to the PNB and present this as an initiative of the finance committee after I've been told that it's a review. That's why I'm asking who is motivating this resolution.
Okay, well, it won't be that way with me.
Can I speak?
Yes, please, Berto. And then you know, we need to move the agenda to really separate, you know, what is the position on these two positions here, or these two issues.
Okay. I think probably one of the issues here is that because Rob Robinson is involved in this, people feel like this is a little sensitive. The bottom line here is this. From what I can understand is this is a project that's necessary for Pacifica that, you know, the technology committee and everybody else have presented that this has to happen. Now, based on the work of the ED, this thing has come up as the basic proposal from the ED that he has to present to the PNB. However, this thing, we can linger on and wait for the next PNB meeting after the April, so which means June or July, or the finance committee can look at the financial impact and say, okay, the financial impact statement do make sense, and then we can say to the national board, the financial impact statement makes sense, and then we are good with that. As far as the proposal itself, you know, in other words, you can think of this as something being backwards or whatever. The proposal itself, the PNB and the coordinating committee have to look at it and propose it to the national committee. Now, if the PNB and the coordinating committee do not, if the coordinating committee doesn't feel it fit to present at the national committee, the financial impact statement that we reviewed or suppressed or approved means nothing. So we are not bringing anything up to the national committee, to the PNB. We are just saying that the financial impact statement here is sound or not sound. So I let's stop being a little defensive, and I think I would, you know, that's said.
Well, I agree completely with that formulation.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's right. What we're doing on the fire, what I'm presenting to you is an idea. I don't care who brought it up. I examined it in terms of, does this make sense financially? Is there money for it? What is the scope of the project? What are the parameters? And that's what I'm placing before the Finance Committee tonight. I'm saying, here is what I have got on this project and its financial impact for review. Finance Committee can say, well, we don't think there's enough money. Well, I'll have to disagree. I'll say, yeah, I think there is.
Excuse me, Lonnie.
Well, we don't like the scope of it. Or we don't
excuse,
like the
excuse
part
me,
of it.
Lonnie.
Just a second.
Mr.
Just a
Thomas,
second.
Can we move the agenda? Because I'm cool with it. Let's move on. Let's deal with the substance of this, please.
But if it's not actually pending before the national board yet, if the coordinating committee hasn't decided to bump this up to the national board,
can we move the agenda?
But why are we reviewing something?
Can we move the agenda and deal with the thing before us?
Okay, so, just a second. So we're talking about the RFP at this point. Is that correct? Because we were kind of going between the two.
We're talking about the DVD project and its financial impact.
Okay. So what is the wish of Dave?
Let's look at the phone.
Chair Lonnie was in the middle of a statement. I was interested in what he was saying when somebody cut
Thomas off. Interrupted him. That's right, because I thought it was needless defensiveness. I want the financial impact to be examined.
Right.
Lonnie
exactly.
Ain't done nothing wrong. I just want to know what the financial impact is.
Okay.
I apologize, but it was Thomas. It wasn't somebody. I apologize. Can we move the agenda? Please?
Okay. Now let's see where we are now. So you're discussing the digital distribution and licensing project. Okay. So what is the next step on this? A motion was passed. So what is the next step of Lonnie or Dave who brought this to the finance committee? So what is your wish?
Well, I would like to have the finance committee review this and agree with me that the financial impact is unknown and it is affordable. That's my proposition to the committee right now. And then the action item would be that the finance committee has reviewed the potential financial impact of this project and considers it feasible and doable and recommends it to either the coordinating committee or the board for further review. That's what I would see as the action item connected with this.
Absolutely.
I have two questions.
Sure, please.
I'm the first one?
Yes.
Okay, first thing. I see that on this digital programming initiative, there's $15,000. I guess that's supposed to be the financial impact, an expenditure of $15,000, $14,000 for staff or consulting costs. So I take it that's a consultant to be hired.
Yes, that's true. Okay. That's exactly right.
Okay, now I have two questions. Where in the 2007 budget do we have money set aside for a consultant for this digital distribution system that we have not even adopted by way of resolution? That's first question number one. And question number two, in terms of the financial impact, why would we dedicate, even if it's in the budget, why would we dedicate up to $14,500 or $15,000 to pay a consultant to do what the executive director and the national programming coordinator arguably already have the responsibility for performing? Those are my two questions. And analysis of this financial impact.
Well, first question I'll take to be, where will the funds come from?
Right? No, where in the budget is this? Because I see that this is a proposal for expenditure within the current fiscal year. So I'm trying to find where in the budget would I find money that we could say is within discretion for expenditure for this purpose.
Can I respond to that?
Well, sure, go ahead.
The motion says the reason we're reviewing it is because this isn't in the budget. It wasn't in the budget. The PMB shall not approve funding greater than $10,000 for initiatives outside of approved budgets without prior review. So the question of where it's coming from in our revenues and what budget line is there, that's for Lonnie to answer. But it wasn't a part of the budget. That's why we're looking at it now. If it was part of the budget, they could have spent this and done this without any finance committee review.
Lonnie, you had a response also?
I'm saying that it's not in the budget. That's why we're reviewing it. And I had to look through the budget to see where funds could be made available for this project at $15,000. And there's two places. So the aforementioned a positive variance in other programming that we discussed earlier. But I think that where I would take it from is a line item where we have planned to do community events. We usually each year do projects with KPFA. It looks like we're not going to do community event projects with KPFA this year. And there's $28,000 in that budget, and I would use that. I would use that those funds.
But aren't those revenue positive events?
Yeah.
I'm writing that down. Come on. So you're saying that's because actually I think. I apologize. I'm out of order. I'm sorry.
Is there another question, or is there another point you're trying to?
My point is then it seems to me, the way Dave provided the answer, I'm not sure that we would have the authority to spend money if we haven't set it in the budget or amended the budget for the expenditure. Now, to the degree that Lonnie added on to Dave's answer, I can see it. So long as it's legitimate for us to take money out of KPFA's community events allocation and make this expenditure without KPFA local station board having to amend its budget, or without Pacifica's national board having to amend that item. Because I always thought that the local boards, according to the bylaws, set their own budget, and that the national board can't amend that. So
out of KPFA's budget, we do joint projects. I'm taking it out of fact that we aren't going to do any joint projects, but it leaves us more money at the national office.
Okay.
Dave,
Brian here.
So my second question then needs to be answered, and that is, why, even if we have the money legitimately available within the budget for this expenditure, would we spend it on a consultant who would do work that the executive director and the national programming coordinator arguably have the authority for doing, and hence we should hold them responsible for doing this? Why would we spend 15 grand extra? I don't see it.
Dave or
can I get on the stack?
Who would like to address this, Dave or Lonnie?
I think Lonnie has to address that latter point, but for me, and this is why we need this review, I feel like the taking it out of something for community events is not something I'm that comfortable with. I don't understand why, if we're having a surplus this year, we don't take it out of the surplus and leave the funding in place for those things that it was budgeted for. And if at the end of the year it hasn't been spent, then it hasn't been spent. But if you say, I'm going to take money that I budgeted to do this, you know, and then the other technical point that Thomas raised is, within the budget we have existing policy that says that anything under 10% in adjustment in the bottom line in any of the major categories doesn't require a rebudgeting, so that managers of each unit are free within a given latitude to make adjustments to the way they spend things. So this wouldn't need to trigger a rebudgeting. But I happen to agree with that. I think is Thomas' sentiment, that the idea of taking it out of anybody's budget, particularly a budget for community events, is just going to upset people. And I think we should just say that we take it out of the expected surplus that's developing.
Well, first of all, that's not what I was talking. You're not taking it out of community events. It's monies we thought we were going to spend, and we're not. No plans have been made, and it looks like there's no interest in doing it. So it'll be monies that will be unspent by the end of the year.
Can I get on the stack, too, when you finish?
Sorry, it's Dave, Brian, and then Baruti, I think.
Okay.
And then the question becomes, if you were to take it from another line item, for example, the item we were talking about before on spent programming money, yeah, we could take it just as well out of there, and it would be less than 10%. But this is this is putting it out for review. Now, my opinion as CFO is, yes, this is a good use of those funds where we're not going to spend. This is a good use of those funds, and I do support it. So I'm bringing it forth. If I didn't, maybe I would have a different opinion about it. But I do think that $15,000 is available and can be used for funds that are unspent. I can point to the line items where those will be unspent. Now, what will happen is I'll rebudget those line items so that you can show that there's less expenditure there, and add this one, which is to say wherever it ends up going. Now, the question was, why should it be consulting? Well, I'm not making a recommendation about consulting or where it should go. I'm just making a statement about what's available, and that's what I'm
But financial impact, I think, goes to the feasibility of the expenditure.
That's
so
right,
all I'm trying to say is, when you're looking at the feasibility, I would think that
while you wouldn't make
a judgment call about which is preferable, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Let me let the other three.
I'm taking too much time anyway.
Right,
I apologize.
Let me just go to I think it was Dave, Brian, Baruti. Thank you.
Yes, I apologize.
That's fine. Thank you.
I've spoken repeatedly. I'll defer.
Okay, Brian, Baruti,
Brian here. $500 in equipment costs, what's that?
Uh-huh. Oh, there may be some office supplies may have to get a printer, something like that, to accompany however we get the thing done, whether it be by consultant or by some other means. I anticipate that there's some additional expenses that may be incurred. I'd just like to anticipate that.
So are you anticipating that Rob will be working out of one of Pacifica's building on equipment purchased by Pacifica?
I'm not assuming that it will be Rob, okay? I'm assuming that there will be expenses, whoever does.
Okay, we were informed we'd be reviewing a contract for Rob, and as supporting material, we were given a proposal from Rob to do this work. And Dave referred to this as a transaction that will trigger review because it's a conflict of interest. I presume that's because it was intended for Rob.
The proposal is a contract with Rob.
Bonnie, do you agree on that?
I'm saying that the board and the coordinating committee, whoever will make the ultimate decision about who will be in the position. I'm not at that point placing this before the finance committee. I'm just answering the question, is there money there? Is it feasible? And does it make financial sense from my point of view? The answer is yes, we should do it.
Well, here's my question. One of the IRS's tests for whether you are cheating on your unemployment taxes by paying someone as an independent contractor who should by rights be an employee is whether they work on their own equipment, whether they've made significant capital investments in their own equipment for their consulting business, whether they have other work
in that
business. And I'm asking if you're looking at a scenario where you're going to be skirting the tax code by paying a board member as a consultant so they can stay on the board while they get paid by Pacifica.
Well, that's not, if we want to stop here and debate that issue about who's a consultant, who's not, I'm not placing that question before this committee right now. Just dealing with, is the money there, is it feasible? That's all. Whether that question will get debated at the board, it'll get debated maybe at coordinating committee, but that's not what I'm doing here as finance. I think our job and our portfolio is a little bit narrower than that. If we start debating programs and items that are not before us, I have a board motion that says come up with some sort of plan and identify its financial feasibility, and that's what we're doing.
But
here,
financial policies and procedures are within the purview of this committee, and I think given the fact that I understand you went through an audit by the Employment Development Department of California recently, that this is a pertinent question.
No, it's not a critical question. The $500 can be spent for whatever in the end the budget is. So it's not guaranteed it'll be spent on anything at this point until the final proposal is before us. This is not a final proposal. This is a financial impact statement.
I guess I don't understand. If we're not reviewing a final financial impact statement based on a final proposal, what are we spending our time doing? I mean, I feel like I'm signing a halfway blank check here. If you can't give me details on the implementation of this contract.
Let me turn the question around. Does the finance committee going to decide on the final contract for whoever does this? No. So that's not what I'm presenting before you. We're not going to decide on a final contract. That's not in our purview. We're deciding on whether there are funds for it, whether it meets budget guidelines. The board will make the decision, and maybe the ED on hiring, but I'm not going there. I'm just trying to answer the narrow question. Does this thing make sense from a business point of view? Are there funds available? Is there going to be a way to monitor the expenses involved?
And this is why I wanted to know who's bringing this proposal, because it sounds like you and Dave don't agree on this. Dave says it's a proposal for Rob's consultancy.
Not Lonnie. Can I?
Dave,
get on the stack after Baruti and Terry?
Sure. Please, go ahead, Baruti.
Yeah, well, I guess to address the last issue, it would be within the purview of the Finance Committee to request. Well, I'm going to ask this question to request that whatever agreement is reached with a consultant is structured in such a way that the foundation is not in jeopardy of being challenged by unemployment or by the IRS as it relates to, you know, employee-employer relationship with a consultant.
That would be part of my review of this process. However it ends up. At this point, I'm not sure. But at this point, I don't think that's before us. But if the Finance Committee wants to make that as a part of a motion to go along with this recommendation, I have no objection.
Oh, okay. And I guess my other question was that, I'm sorry, the gentleman from D.C. mentioned about why would we hire someone or hire a consultant to provide services that theoretically staff people should be providing for us. But, I mean, it really would be a function of the workload of the staff. I mean, it wouldn't be unusual for entities to hire consultants to supplement, you know, a staff that's at capacity. So, I mean, it's a question. I don't know if it falls within our purview. In other words, do we feel as though our staff is full now and that you may need to supplement? Even within the fiscal department, you can hire consultants to help out in the fiscal department if all the staff there are basically up to capacity. So it's not unusual for an organization to go out and hire consultants to provide services that theoretically existing staff would be able to provide under normal circumstances.
That's the point, and we do it. We have budgets for it, too, but I don't want to get us hung up on the word consultant. I'm just talking about the issue of a board project, because they've come up with some sort of plan and evaluate the financial feasibility. That's what I see before us. And I'm saying that for the Finance Committee, the action that I'm asking for is review this as a proposed project, as you would any other project, in the light of its financial feasibility, and the funds are there and can be identified, monitored, and whatnot. But because of the board, now the board motion, which says anything over $10,000 has to be reviewed by us.
I think Dave was next.
Terry.
I'm sorry, Terry. Terry. Terry, then Dave.
Yeah, I think discussion is wandering because people are losing sight of the motion that's before us. So I will try to offer clearer language and substitute for that motion that was proposed.
Thank you.
Resolved. The PNB Finance Committee has reviewed the CFO's financial impact summary for the DDD project and finds the project feasible and the impact summary reasonable.
Thanks, Terry. Very good. I agree. That sums up what I was trying to say.
May I go now, Levon?
Sure.
So I agree with what Baruti said on both points, and I think that his motion about Brian's concern make a lot of sense, and I'd ask that he form that into an amendment that we can add. But I just want to take a step back and look at what's going on here, which is I think Brian's made real clear that he doesn't like this and he's concerned about it in a number of dimensions. And we can either attempt to solve those questions or they can be used as reasons to not do it or not go forward. And I'm concerned that that orientation doesn't move us. Now, I think that he's raised several questions. I think Thomas's question is a very good question, which is, you know, is this too much to be spending on somebody who would be capable of executing this project? And my own feeling is that is not very much money. I mean, it's a lot of money in one respect, but to find somebody who can basically devote a full-time job for 3 months to doing all this stuff that lets us move on issues that have been being raised in multiple dimensions every time they raise this, I don't find it too out of line. And I don't know what we've paid other consultants in the past for, you know, if we've ever had any kind of comparable services. But, you know, to me it doesn't sound like an extraordinary expense. And as to what Thomas said about the National Program Director, Lonnie's earlier point was that already the National Program Director is sort of full up just trying to move national programming. And this is really a different project altogether. As far as I know, the ED works full-time already on all these things. But, I mean, I think Thomas's questions are on point, and people have to make their own decision about whether they think that's the case. And as to Brian's concerns, I wish that our orientation was more in the way that Baruti described it, which is what do we need to do to this to make it work, and so that we're following all the legal requirements of it. We've been trying to move this project for a long, long time.
This is Thomas. When I get a chance, I'd like to...
I think you're next. Go ahead.
Oh, am I?
I think Jane tried to get in earlier.
Oh, I didn't hear her. Jane, are you there?
No, I am here. No, I did not.
96.7. Thank you. Thomas, please.
Okay. Jane, you don't have anything to say?
Thomas, please.
Okay. Okay. I don't think $58,000 a year is too much for this work. I'm not tripping on that, no. And even it's set out at a three-month period. If it stops in 3 months, fine. But what I'm saying is, first of all, if it's a national program director who has a whole lot of work, well, that's beautiful. He has a whole lot of work. But, you know, he took the job. I hope he loves the job, and I hope he loves it so much that he will take this additional assignment, which will only take an estimated 3 months for him to finish. He can focus on this and then get back to what he's doing. He just started his job. His effort is seminal at this stage. And if we adopt this along the lines of our discussions in January, it will be adopted by the board unanimously. That is, the idea of us employing this Creative Commons licensing arrangement and using that to get our programmers and others involved into this digital distribution network that would be hooked up into our internet access device, that is our website. Okay, I'm cool with that. I really have no problem with the idea. I would have liked the financial impact statement and the proposals to have been written much more clearly and for a business plan to have been included, but fine, we've talked about it enough that I think I understand it. I don't have a problem with the amount of money spent, and I don't have a problem with the idea. I do have a problem with people getting paid to do work, and then they're excused from doing their work, and they actually find somebody else who, as a consultant, can do their work for them. That's the way I see it. Now, that's the way I see the actual budgeting. Now, I have some other concerns outside of that, but for this issue, that's my statement about why are we spending $14,500 for Rob or someone else to do what Nathan and Greg are supposed to do or in charge of getting done. Now, I still have concerns about the legitimacy of taking this out of a budget that's already been adopted. I know at WPFW, the only local station board budget, the only local station board I deal with, when we adopted the budget, we never adopted any phrase allowing for a 10% reallocation of an item within the budget within the discretion of the general manager or the executive director or the national board. I never heard that statement until now. And I know that the bylaws say that the local station board budgets are to be adopted solely by the local station. No, the local station budgets are to be adopted solely by the local station boards. And since Lonnie or Greg or Dave or whomever did not state in it, in financial impact statement precisely where this money is coming from, I think the financial impact statement is deficient in that regard. And since Lonnie, I listed at least two different possible sources for this $15,000, that is the KPFA community events budget, which I think would be an illegitimate source of the money, or surplus money. I think that issue needs to be clearly stated and verified and placed in writing in the financial impact statement before we approve this. Otherwise, I think it's deficient. So that's where I'm at. But actually, I like the idea. I'm being clear. I like the idea. I have a problem with us paying somebody in the fashion that we're talking about.
Right.
But if we paid somebody $58,000, they ain't tripping me. No, I don't have a problem with that, Dave.
Sure, Dave.
Brian asked before me. And he hasn't spoken in a while. I'll defer until after he speaks.
Okay. I agree with a lot of what Thomas said, and I also agree that the impact statement as it stands is deficient. The statement says the source of funds will be National Office mail drop revenues. I wasn't aware that we earmarked revenues in Pacifica. I would expect to see a reallocation of expense, particularly given that national revenue projections are that at the end of the year, gross revenues will be less than budgeted. If it's coming from someplace else that the board set as a priority to spend funds through the budgeting process, like programming, I think that needs to be explicit in the decision to reallocate funds here. So I would ask that it go back to Lonnie on those grounds. I would also ask that it be specific to a proposed contract, not to a up-in-the-air proposal that may be a consultant or maybe staff. The statement itself says hire a consultant within 30 days. I assume that means it is a consultant and not staff, Lonnie, but you seem to think it could be either. It also proposes hiring, acquiring office supplies for that person, which, as I understand, puts you into a very risky place with the IRS when it comes to unemployment taxes and so forth. I think this thing may be moving forward a little bit fast. I mean, I have severe ethical qualms about creating a paid consultancy for a board member at the initiative of a board member by a vote of the board. It meets the definition of self-dealing under the California Corporate Code. You have to make certain findings on the national board. You'll have to find that this is in benefit to the foundation. And all I can make out of the deliverables in this plan is that the main product of this person's work is going to be a plan for more work. It's going to be the culmination of the work they do over the next 3 months. You have to find that this is a fair and reasonable rate. Well, I don't know what Rob's rate is for his other consulting work, but I do know what prevailing wages are in Pacifica. We have over 50 union members here at KPFA who make $18 an hour. That's about $37,000 a year. And you're proposing a pay rate that's the equivalent of $60,000 a year. Your national newscast, your anchor for your national newscast of Free Speech Radio News, gets a half-time salary at $18 an hour. She's paid for 4 hours a day of work, even though she works more. No sick days, no vacation time, no benefits. I mean, there are some serious gaps here, and what I see is money moving away from the programming and into what Lonnie described as a bureaucracy. I don't see the benefits of this, and it stinks to me in terms of what Pacifica is saying its priorities are. When we went through union contract negotiations here at KPFA, what we heard repeatedly from national management through our negotiators was the money is not there for a raise that would keep you up to speed with inflation. And yet the money is there for a board to create a paid consultancy for one of its own members at a rate far above what anybody gets paid at KPFA who's in the union, even when you factor in the cost of payroll taxes, benefits, retirement fund contributions, and so forth. It just does not pass the smell test for me. And the other requirement under California Corporate Code, the board will have to make a finding of, is that you did due diligence to assure that you could not find a more reasonable alternative arrangement with someone who does not have a conflict of interest. And I have not heard anything about this consultancy going out to bid or about exploring the possibility of allocating this work to an employee within the foundation. And those are all extremely troubling to me from an ethical point of view and possibly from a legal point of view. And as someone who works at the station for not very much money, it makes me angry. It makes me extremely angry. And I got to say, if this gets rushed through the national board at tomorrow's meeting after scant review in this committee, I will be calling the California Attorney General's office on Monday to investigate this as self-dealing.
Hello?
Thomas. I think it's out of order. It's out of order to threaten the organization in that fashion. I take it that you meant well and warning is taken, but I think that's out of order. So I'm not the chair. I just wanted to say that. That can be regarded as offensive.
Thank you. This is LaVarne, yeah. I think the discussion has gone beyond in terms of what we can do in a position of the Finance Committee, because the Finance Committee, again, we can only determine if there's funding available for an initiative, not that we agree with the initiative at all or agree with the way it's proposed, because, again, as Thomas, as Brian, as all have said, well, Thomas initially said that the proposal itself, perhaps you can look within the organization itself and where the work could be actually done versus creating a position for not only the expense, but, you know, you're adding full-time equivalents, you're adding headcount as a consultant. So, you know, that hasn't really, I guess, a quarter of a person there. So I think that, you know, where we stand with this Brian's statement in terms of where we would go with this in terms of if it was to move forward, I think that that draws to a position where it's, I mean, in terms of what's the best position to take for the foundation. So I think basically because of all these issues, I think that we definitely, I really don't want to take a motion. I think that we should move this back to coordinating, and that we really, again, the position of this, our overall goal here is what is the position of the foundation and what are the best interests of the foundation. And again, as Brian, as Thomas said, for one of the members to threaten to go to an outside authority, particularly in these times, is troubling in itself. So, again, I would my position is that we definitely need to move this back to coordinating, and at this time, it's your day, please.
I think Terry's motion and Baruti's amendment, particularly if it can be worked out to address some of the concerns that Brian has raised about ensuring that, you know, this thing doesn't expose us to any liability in the way that in the way it's implemented, I think that is appropriate for the committee to do, and I hope that Baruti will work on it. As to, and I do want to respond to Brian's point, which is, I don't know if he's listening, but I think I said that I don't think we can deal with it tomorrow because I don't think the board got the proposal. And I guess the issue is really one of, in the long run, do you want to see the project move forward? If it, you know, you say, well, it's about the board member dealing with it, there are any number of ways to resolve that question. But from a finance point of view, I think we do have to be sure that we recommend that we proceed in a way that protects the financial interests of the foundation. So if Baruti could propose the language that he proposed, I think we should vote on this this motion.
And make a friendly amendment, not that I'm inclined to. This is Thomas. Just in line with what Dave is trying to do and what Baruti, whom I've never met, is trying to do, I would suggest for you to consider what Baruti proposed and that the financial impact statement include a specific statement about where in the budget the money is coming from, a statement showing that it's a legitimate source of money within the budget, and also in order to avoid any problem with conflict of interest or self-dealing, if there is a question, I think there ought to be an examination of whether it would be better to post this as an advertisement for all people to seek the employment if there's to be employment. In other words, rather than sole source procurement of a consultant, then all who would be interested in this, anybody could probably do this, could say, well, they would like to do it. And then we, as Pacifica or the executive director or the national programming coordinator, pick the best person. I think that would help.
Terry,
this is Dave. Oh, I'm sorry, Terry, and then Dave.
Yeah, I have suggested language to amend my original proposal to incorporate Baruti's concern.
May we hear that?
It's adding a phrase. So the whole motion would be: the P&B Finance Committee has reviewed the CFO's financial impact summary for the DDD project and finds the project feasible and the impact summary reasonable, but recommends that the PMB carefully ensure compliance with the self-dealing provisions of the California Corporations Code.
Brian here.
Sure. I was at Brian next. Yeah.
I think I was next.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave and Brian.
Yeah. I think we, on Thomas's point, I don't think that we should be saying, look, we're taking this money out of something that we've allocated money for. I think what we need to specify is what budget line it will be assigned to and what its impact on the bottom line would be. And so the impact on the bottom line could be anything from $15,000 less in the bottom line at the end to less than that if there are expenses that aren't being expended. But the idea that we're taking money out of a community event to do this, to me, is not the right way to do. So I think the motion should be should specify what to what budget lines it will be assigned, And the range of impacts could be anything from no change in the bottom line to that section up to a $15,000 variance. And so I'd like to make that motion.
The bottom line would not be impacted. That would be my plan.
Well, okay, but see, if the bottom line's not impacted, that may mean not spending on things you've spent for. And I don't think what we're talking about, in fact, I would oppose withdrawing money that was budgeted for something for this. If you don't happen to spend that money.
For purposes of having this on, I second Dave's.
Just a second. Let Dave. Dave, please wrap up quickly, and then Thomas.
Well, I think
who's next?
I just think that we should say, you know, this is where it will be assigned, and he could have a note that says, at the moment, the things for which this budget wasn't spent. But suppose somebody comes up and say, hey, I want to do something consistent with what that money was in there for, other than what we planned. That money should still be available for that. So the impact, it seems to me, is the impact that it will be assigned to the following budget line, and the impact will be up to a $15,000 variance in that budget line. However, based on current projections, the actual bottom line may be less than that. And I don't think we should say we're pulling it out of here. It's not where we're pulling it out of, it's where we're putting it.
Brian?
I actually think it's both, but I think what we're getting to here with all these amendments and conditions we're putting on this is that the actual financial impact statement is not specific enough. I think this actually does need to specify whether we will be hiring a consultant with this money or creating additional staff headcount. I think that determines whether or not we should be budgeting to spend on equipment, because if you're hiring a consultant, you shouldn't be. And I also think it does need to be specific about where the money is being allocated from the budget. And it sounds like there's a consensus on that. I don't think we fix it with amendments. I think we kick it back to the CFO and ask him to bring us a more concrete financial impact statement.
Jane, I second that.
That sounds like what I'd initially proposed, but go ahead.
No, I have to object.
Okay,
go ahead. I think we're off base. What we're being asked to do, the financial impact statement was my idea, first of all. And it was not to evaluate the worthiness of our project. Now we're adding amendments that essentially evaluate whether what the board intended, but we agree with or not. It's not what I'm seeing that my job is to do. The board has given me a CFO, narrow task of someone proposes an idea to go to the moon. And the board has said, well, you know, do we have funds for that? Is it financially feasible? And my job is to go have a look and see where the funding for such a project might go, irrespective of whether it's consultancy or anything else. But once you get into the area of cautioning the board what they could and should not do with this area, now, this is not a motion that's coming from this is a board-directed activity to the staff. Now, I don't want to get into the area of, we can make recommendations back to the board, but the board has to ultimately make these decisions. These are policy decisions. And I certainly don't want the financial impact statement to become an evaluation of board directive. That's not, I see, what this form is designed to do. I certainly don't want to have it become that, especially if I'm going to put my name on it. I would not put my name on something that evaluates the board directive. That's fairly clear. And I'm not going to use it as a way to second-guess the board either. That's the board's decision to deal with these issues and the attorney's decision to deal with the issues. See, our job is to answer the narrow question. Is there money for this, and where will it come from? That is the board policy. It's not something I made up. The board policy, 3 years, I think we did it in 2003, it is exactly that. Clear. It says that you shall have financial impact statement and you shall identify where the funds come from. I want to stick to that. Once you start going astray, is there no project we can look at and evaluate outside financial grounds? I don't want to get over into that because I'm frankly not qualified to answer legal issues and questions. And I certainly want the financial impact statement to be in getting involved in that. It's not wise to do. And nobody is an attorney. And so therefore using a financial impact statement to make legal points doesn't make sense. You don't know. I know at least five answers to these legal questions that are here. It is not the case that you cannot hire a board member. You certainly can. That's not true. Is the case on the 10%? Yeah, the board has a policy, Thomas, you may not be aware of. But you can make changes in the budget with a 10% per line variance. That's board policy. On self-dealing, yeah, you can. You have to make, there are strict rules around self-dealing, but obviously it happens. My last board chair was also the attorney for my organization, and sure, you can do that, but you have to be careful, and the board has to be made aware by an attorney of what the pros and cons of doing it that way. So anyway, I am not agreeable to having the financial impact statement become a political statement, B, a way to second guess what a pretty clear board mandates on what this thing should be. That is not wise.
Brian?
Thomas, real quick, I just want to say in response.
Just a second. I think Brian was right before you, Thomas.
Well, I apologize. Go ahead, Brian.
I'll make it quick, Thomas. Lonnie, I hear your concern, and I understand you're in a difficult position. I think what I'm saying now, and I'm sorry I got some unrelated stuff off my chest. I feel better having it off my chest, but I'm sorry. Is that this proposal is not actually right now being specific about what the money is going to be spent on or where it's going to come from, or at least not specific enough to meet my criteria. And I actually don't agree with what you're saying, that this is what the board asked you to do. The board asked staff to come up with a work plan. And either you or Dave or Greg, I'm still not clear on that, is proposing that you hire a consultant who is a board member to come up with that work plan. But the board never said, come up with a plan to hire a consultant.
And I'm not proposing that here, as I keep saying over and over again. I'm not proposing, you see, nothing in this financial impact statement that talks about hiring a consultant. Not there.
Okay, Thomas? Are you through, Lonnie?
Yeah, I mean, we're making attributions and not too. What I'd like to do, Madam Chair, is we do have a motion on the floor.
Yes, we did.
And I guess I'm saying we could stay all night and debate the fine points, but are we ready to vote on the motion on the floor?
The motion, though, is, Terry, is Brian's motion to send this back to you to redo the financial impact. And Thomas, can you say something quickly? You're next, and I'd just like to say something real quickly after Thomas.
My basic statement would be, while I support what we want, that is digital distribution of this material, when I look at it, the financial impact of this, and when I do that through the vehicle of a financial impact statement, I do not want the statement to be deficient. I find this statement to be deficient for the reasons that we pointed out. That's all.
Yeah, and this is important. I think that the concerns are that have been addressed are, you know, that we should really pay attention to that that what's been presented as financial impact is something that it appears that has been approved by committee, and I think it has not been approved by committee as submitted, and that's where the sticking point I think is, and that if we are presented a financial impact statement on an approved motion or approved process, then we can actually say that we approve that. But to approve something based on an outline that has not been, that the motion has not been, I guess, approved by coordinating committee or whatever, is to imply some approval by finance, regardless of what the language will say. So I think that this seems to be the sticking point, is that the outline itself has not been approved, and that there are various other options that a number of people have stated that could be considered. I mean, it's for this whole project. So I think that this is where we are. But the motion on the floor, Nan, Terry, if you can just help us here.
I have that as Brian moves to refer back to the CFO for improved detail in the impact summary.
Yeah, well, that's not clear enough. But I do have, I mean, it doesn't work for me.
Can I speak?
Okay, Dave and Lonnie. Lonnie's spoken.
I mean, I think the concern about the financial impact can be resolved by a simple motion here. And, you know, Lonnie's point about the purpose of this review goes back to a discussion we had 3 years ago on this committee when I was specifically concerned, when Lonnie was proposing this motion about financial review, that it not be used as a lever to basically halt action. That you shouldn't be able to say, you know, no, it's, you have to stop. And so my concern, the language that came out about the approval was to allow the board to say, yeah, we want to do these things without having somebody come up and say, oh, no, board, you can't act. It has to go through some process and it takes forever. The concern about the financial impact, I agree. And I think it can be resolved with a simple motion, and therefore I oppose sending it back to the CFO and just creating additional delay. And the simple motion is that the funds shall be assigned to such and such budget line and may create up to a $15,000 negative variance, although based on current projections, the total amount spent in that budget line is unlikely to exceed that. You can solve it. If we want to get the financial impact part of this done, we can do that. All the other questions and people's issues, and Thomas's in particular, about whether or not this should be posted, we're all still going to have to deal with every one of those things. The question is whether we want this mechanism to be used, the finance mechanism to be used for that purpose. And I have to leave it up to the discretion of my fellow members, but I oppose the motion to refer it, and I will be proposing the language I just described if we vote down the motion to send it back.
Brian, point okay. of information?
Sure, who is that? Terry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't the impact summary identify the funds as coming from unexpended mail drop, joint mail drop?
No, that's what it has.
Well, right now, I got a source for the, for the mail drop, it does. And I'm willing to amend that. And identify another source. I have two or three choices. So I'm happy to do that. Don't get me wrong. I want to identify the source of the funds. I like Dave's language about the variance. For me, that sticks with finance. The other things are policy issues around everything from hiring practice to legal issues. I don't want to have the financial impact statement mucked up with that sort of stuff because it cannot be solved in this context of a financial impact statement.
Brian here.
Hey, Brian.
I think the issue to me is that as Dave described the process, this is coming up because of a contract policy and will be advanced to the PNB as a proposed contract. But we're not looking at a financial impact statement for a contract. We're looking at a financial impact statement for a kind of open-ended allocation of resources that you're telling us maybe a consultant, maybe staff, who knows. I think that's why this is inadequate right now. I mean, you may need to let the other gears in the Pacifica machine grind a few notches forward before you bring this to finance for review, because I think we're looking at a financial impact statement for kind of an open-ended plan here.
Madam Chair, Jane. May we go ahead and vote the motion? Oh, sorry, Jane.
Jane? Just for clarification, I don't want to do any of the things that Lonnie seems to suggest that we were trying to do here. I think that the specificity that Lonnie and Dave have both reminded us of in terms of what the financial impact statement is for, I'm really glad for that reminder. And the reason that I would like this to go back and be brought to us again, hopefully, I don't know if we're going to be able to meet on the 9th or not, but the issue to me is just that it's not clear. It's extremely confusing. And so I think that because there's so much more information in here than, well, that's what my only reason for wanting to send it back at this point is because I find it very confusing and unclear.
Chair, may we go ahead and vote this and see what the will of the body is?
Yes, let's move forward on this. Okay.
Can I ask a question before we take
it? Oh, please, Baruti. Okay.
If it goes back, we would be able, if we have an April 9th meeting, would that meeting... That meeting is before the next PNB, not the next PNB meeting, but the one after this PNB meeting, correct?
Yes, it should be. Dave, do you have a schedule for the meeting?
Well, the April PNB meeting is on the 20th, but I am going to be proposing to the board tomorrow that we hold a teleconference on either the 6th, preferably the 6th or the 13th, because the other thing that the coordinating committee is supposed to do is to work out this strategic planning approach on Friday, and the board in the past has wanted to get back and vote on that before a meeting. So based on that alone, I think there'll be another meeting. So we could have another meeting and look at this, but I think that the PMB, because of the wanting to get its plans for the meeting nailed down, will meet before the next Finance Committee meeting. And and bottom line is, I think that if we were to not do this, then we wouldn't have weighed in by the time the PNB actually does look at this question. But I don't think it's going to, in fact, I can't see how we can look at it tomorrow night.
And does it have to go to another committee before it goes to the PNB? I mean, after we say what we're going to say about it, if we didn't send it back, does it have to go to the coordinating committee, or it would go straight to the PNB?
Well, I mean, the coordinating committee is going to meet and present it to the PMB, but my view is that it can go directly to the PMB because the coordinating committee's role is simply to forward it on to the board. So since there's a conflict of interest issue, it goes to the board anyway. But, I mean, I'm not committed to it has to go through the coordinating committee, but if other people are, we can. In terms of the timing and in terms of reasonable process, yes, I think the coordinating committee should take a look at it, but I think the PMB has to get it like well in advance of when they look at it. And since the coordinating committee has to meet again before the PMB has to meet again to consider what we'll do in April, it makes sense to do it that way. Sorry if I'm not being any more informed than that.
Who's that? I'm sorry.
Can I?
Right here.
Bert?
Who is it? Berto?
Yes. Can I suggest that we honestly look at these things and send comments and have feedback online so that we can work out these issues? Because, I think kind of there was no correspondence on this, and all of a sudden this is popping out. And I think, to get more work done, I think we should use the emails, much more efficiently, especially on this issue if it goes back, so that we can, give our feedback and get a document or whatever that we could live with.
Chair, Jane again.
I'd like to respond to that.
Point of order.
Point of order. Yes, Terry.
Yes, the discussion of email correspondence is not related to the motion to refer. Discussion is only in this order on the merits of the motion to refer.
I think that we actually had called for a vote on the motion, and I had deferred. Yeah, Dave.
You can't close debate. There were other members who still wanted it, so I had asked the question, but other members wanted to discuss it. I would like to address what Berthold just said.
Please, but let me just do a time check.
Yeah.
It's specific time. It's 8:09 p.m. So
point of order.
I'd like to move. Terry, please.
Actually, it was Brian this time.
Yeah, Brian.
It is within the chair's authority, though, to keep conversation and debate germane to the motion before the body.
And there's a way that could be
germane. Point of order, the question about what you would do in the interim if you referred it does seem to me germane as to whether people would want to refer it or not.
And
yeah,
this is Jane. I'd like to comment on that, please.
We have Dave, and then we have, Lonnie, and then Jane? Okay.
Yeah, I don't agree. Thanks, Levon. I don't agree that, we haven't discussed it. This thing was sent around to the full committee. I got it a week ago.
Except me.
I got it. And actually, I got it from the National Finance Committee group, Yahoo group, which you were on.
I did a search on my email account and did not receive it.
Okay, that may be fine. That may be the case. But the point, to Berthold's point, was that it did go to the full committee a week ago. And just, there was no discussion. We had discussion about it previously and the rest. I think what we're really voting on is whether we want to let this thing move forward or not. And if people don't want, they're going to vote against it. And there's nothing I can do about that, really. But I don't see that any further discussion on this point will clarify anything related to the purview of this committee any further. I think the financial impact is we're talking about an expenditure of $15,000, and if we resolve the question of what budget line it's assigned to, and what the maximum range impact it is on the planned expenditures, that's the financial impact. So I'm going to be voting against the motion, but people do what they want.